Hello, listeners. It's time for another side quest.
Yay!
We like side quests, right?
We do. They're fun.
It can't always be about the main storyline, the
bite-sized
missions,
morsels.
Yeah. So this side quest, this is another one where we actually have gotten some listener mail, right?
Yes, very exciting. Sarah from Los Angeles sent us a message, and she wants to talk about platonic ships, because we talk so much about shipping throughout the course of our podcast. She said, my suggestion for a side quest discussion is platonic ships, or maybe how people can ship the same characters romantically or platonically. An example. I find the relationship between Fringilla and Francesca in season 2 fascinating. I look forward to every scene they shared. I would fully understand someone romantically shipping them, they had that much chemistry together, but I'm hardcore here for two women balancing what they want and the power they have and relying on each other to understand what that's like. Romance not necessary for the platonic ship. Similarly, I love the moments we got between Ciri and Triss. Totally possible Ciri had a bit of a crush on Triss, whether you see that as romantic or platonic. But my enjoyment of those two is that they are the only women in a keep full of Witcher bros, and seeing them enjoying the company of another woman was fun.
That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
I guess a quick question, just so we set a baseline here. Is there a platonic crush? Is that something?
I think, yeah, like a girl crush you can definitely have, especially as a young woman. I think you find someone who's like older and kind of cool, and you definitely idolize them and want to be like them. Yeah.
Okay. So your point a couple of episodes ago when we were talking about that episode was you thought Ciri had an actual crush.
Yes, I think Ciri has a crush on Triss, but I could definitely see it being platonic as well.
Okay.
That's like I could see it being interpreted that way.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. It's a really good question, Sarah. Thank you for it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I'll have to give some thought to this. I'm gonna actually throw one out there. I'm gonna just take a big swing off the bat and say, I think this would be interesting. It's not what they're doing, but it would be kind of cool just because it's not something we see that often, because we always want to turn things romantic. But what if Geralt and Yennefer were platonic?
Ooh.
What if they were, you know, what if they were like you and I, Valerie? What if they were just, you know, really good
Tim, did you
friends?
Bind us together with a wish and didn't tell me?
I honestly, I wish, if I had a wish that I love you, but that is not
no,
what
I
wish
agree
for.
Fully. Like, nope.
if I could just wish for anything, yeah, that. I don't know that. Maybe if I had 100 wishes, that might be somewhere down there.
You know, I think even we're I'd both like giant truckload of money. Anyway, that's not Sarah's question. The point being, you know, I think that's a really interesting take. Like, obviously, that's not what they're doing in the show, but I think that could be a fascinating relationship.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm gonna go on a bit of a tangent here, but you know, it's a side quest, so I feel comfortable doing it, but in my day job, I have had to write about a lot of different TV shows, one of which that I had to write a lot about back when it was airing was Arrow. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, I don't think she listens to the podcast, but a friend of mine named Cecil was also a big fan of Arrow. And she loved the relationship between the main character, Oliver Queen, and who ultimately became his romantic interest and wife, Felicity Smoke, at the start when they were just kind of work acquaintance. Like she was like his go-to hacker sort of person.
Like a Gal Friday almost.
Yeah. And they had a relationship that at first seemed very platonic. But needless to say, the fans went nuts and, you know, created Olicity and, you know, created a big ship. Like most of the fans watching the show were watching, or at least a good number of them were watching in hope that these characters would come together. And ultimately they did. Now, I don't know. I have no idea what was the behind the scenes sort of stuff going on in the writer's room. Maybe that was always the plan. But anyone who knows Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, knows that is not who he is with in the comics. He's always been with Black Canary. They have a long history. There was a Black Canary character who was part of the show. You could say maybe they didn't have chemistry. They probably did not, but it doesn't feel like that was originally their plan. It really feels like maybe they kind of gave in to, you know, these demands for from the fan base. Now, I don't know if they did. Again, this is just all speculation on my part, but I never liked that. I never liked that they went that way. I was not a big fan of Felicity as a romantic interest. I always thought I agreed with my friend Cecil. I thought they were better. And so it just it feels like we never get a chance to see this, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Listening to you talk about this, it's like you very rarely get to see platonic male-female relationships in shows. It's always the romantic interest.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that in more shows. Like here with Witcher, I really like what they're doing with Geralt and Triss. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, she'd made a pass at him, but that was more from her trauma and her grief than like a deep romantic longing for him.
Yeah.
And I like that they're platonic in this universe, in this iteration of The Witcher, even though they're not so much in the books and the games. Like, I think that's a cool take on their relationship.
They are for now. I mean,
well,
I think
for now, yeah.
I think they probably will. I don't see any reason why. I don't see any indication that they might change that after this season. But you know, you never know.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, Geralt is certainly not loyal and monogamous to Triss or to Yennefer in the book. So who knows how they'll play it on the show. I just think it would be refreshing. You know, I was also I loved the X-Files. We talked about the mm-hmm. X-Files back when you were talking about shipping in general. And, you know, but I was a bigger fan of, you know, them just being kind of work acquaintances with that sort of chemistry.
Yeah.
I like the, you know, will they, won't they? And I always felt like this sort of more recent episodes of The X-Files, this sort of return, one of the reasons it didn't quite work, I think, is because that dynamic had changed between them. They'd entered a romantic relationship. And even though they tried to then break them apart, it wasn't the same. And so I feel like that's a really cool dynamic. I wish you could introduce those sort of relationships and not have it always have to turn romantic. And so, I think it would be nice to have a platonic relationship between Geralt and Yennefer because you never see that. It'd be completely at odds with what exists in the franchise mm-hmm. property before this. But, you know, I don't know. That's one I would say maybe would be kind of cool. And it would free Yennefer up to maybe get something going on with Yasker?
Yeah, speaking of Yasker, we've talked about this before, but I would love to see them actually build on the existing platonic relationships because Yasker and Geralt, at least in the show, as far as has been established, they're friends, but we never really see them be friendly with each other, which is super weird, and I wish we did. You kind of wonder, like, why do these two people actually hang out together? Because they don't seem to like each other in any way.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I agree completely because, you know, they have such a good dynamic in the books and in the game. And you hope now going forward after the end of season two and future seasons, we'll see more of that in the show.
Yeah.
But we really haven't yet. Like, I was even thinking about season two. Okay, they repaired their friendship after what happened at the end of season one, but you only have two episodes with Geralt and Yasker even together.
And they barely interact.
They barely interact. Yeah. They interact in episode
seven.
Seven, yeah. But barely in episode eight. And so, yeah, even now, even after this, you didn't really get a chance. Like if we were hoping for a lot of great Geralt and Yasker banter in season two, we really didn't get it.
Right, yeah.
So I agree with you on that completely. I would actually also throw out, kind of broadening it a bit, the various sorceresses.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know we're going to get a lot of them together. Like, all right, so we've gotten Frin Fran.
Yeah, and we've seen some of the sorceresses at the beginning in Aretuza when they went swimming.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That interaction.
A little bit of it there. And then Frin Fran, and I guess what I was getting at is, like, we know how cool Frin Fran is. We know how much we like that. Whether you see it as a romantic ship or just a friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it even exists after this season, I don't even know what the after effects are of that. But, like, it's been cool. We've had it. So imagine now seeing other characters brought to that fold and this sort of sisterhood develop that is the Lodge. They're very sort of domineering in the book. I have a feeling they'll play a little different on screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how that develops. So I like that. I don't know. Talking about some of the ones that Sarah mentioned, I don't know. It just it's just so much fun, like, you know, seeing Frangilla and Francesca as like a potential romantic partnership. I don't know.
I see where she's coming from, right? Because it is really cool to have like these two badass women like supporting each other and being partners and like taking over the world until it all falls apart terribly. But it's really cool.
Yeah. No, and certainly there's no invalid takes in any of this.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to see these, if you prefer these as platonic relationships, like that's totally cool. But I do kind of like the ones that she mentioned as well. Like I never thought about Ciri having a potential crush on Triss. I guess it could be, I would think it was cute either way, whether it's a platonic one or a romantic one, but it is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I think it is kind of, and I never even thought
about
that.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. It's very sweet. And I never thought about that until you brought that up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know any other kind of cool, platonic ships.
You know, I do like, as much as I would like to see Geralt and Istrid together, I do like seeing them like banter off of each other and have like random nerd adventures. That's, like that was fun.
That's a good one because we probably won't see much more of that. So the idea of maybe wanting more of that and kind of, you know, I don't know if people were potentially writing fanfic about that. Like I could see why maybe they would, because I don't think we're going to get that. And it was sort of a fun sort of friendship.
Yeah, just getting them to see the opposites, their two opposite worlds coming together and both still being like their own type of nerd was fun.
So, you know, I guess another question, when we were talking about ships in a previous episode, I mentioned Lambert and Cohen, and you said there are people who ship them, but you never did because you see.
That's true. I do see them more as brothers.
Yeah.
Brothers in arms.
Would that be a platonic ship or is that different?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I like their friendship. I like their relationship
as,
you know, brothers and brothers in arms is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel like there'd be, I don't know, like it never existed, but if there was like, I don't know, like a spinoff, animated movie or live action movie, or even like a short story written by Andrzej Sapkowski that was just Cohen and Lambert, you know, having adventures together, you know, as witchers, be kind of a fun little, there'd be some good banter there.
I think so. Yeah. They're very good at bantering, the two of them.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Sarah actually makes a good point. It's one that we haven't really talked about previously on the podcast. We're always trying to ship everyone. Well, you are, but I do it a little bit too. But it's always romantic. We never kind of even consider the idea of platonic ships, and maybe sometimes it's kind of worth playing and discussing those or exploring those as well
for sure.
Going forward. So thank you for the question,
Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Listeners, we are always up for answering questions about Witcher, about ourselves, about whiskey, you know, whatever if we can answer it, we will. You know how to reach out to us on social media and via email. So please send us your questions. We love hearing from you and we love answering these.
Please do.
Yeah. But we also had something else we wanted to talk about. We had some casting news recently. Mm-hmm. Season 3 is currently shooting. And so we're starting to get like news and information. Some of it is official. Some of it is unofficial.
Shout out to Redanian Intelligence on the internet. He's telling us a bunch of shooting locations.
Yeah. Such a great account if you guys don't follow them. But on the official side, we had a casting announcement posted announcing four characters, and they're interesting ones. So I'm going to read the characters and the actors playing them, also the descriptions that were provided, and then we can discuss them. So I guess we'll just do these one by one. Let's start with a character in, oh God, new names to pronounce.
Oh no, our nemesis.
Yeah, Gallatin. I'm going to say Gallatin.
You know what? It hasn't been pronounced in public yet, Tim. So one of those could very well be right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say Gallatin for now. This is a character played by Robbie Amell.
Speaking of Arrow, like cousin to Stephen Amell.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The brief description of the character, a born fighter, Gallatin leads an army of guerrilla Scoia'tael fighting on behalf of Nilfgaard. Unafraid to speak his truth, Gallatin's loyalty to his people ultimately leads him on a collision course with Francesca over power. Now, this is very interesting in light of our recent discussion about elves and kind of the future of the elves and what we'd like to see in season three. Mm-hmm. It confirms that we're going to get the Scoia'tael. However, this character, Gallatin, who's not one I'm familiar with, I don't believe he's from the books. I can't find any reference to him. If he is, he's like maybe a one-off name mentioned at one point. He's definitely not a major character. But it makes it sound like he's going to be at odds with Francesca. Like at one point I was like, is she going to have a role in starting the Scoia'tael? Is it going to spin out of Philivandrel or, you know, any of the other elves we have? Maybe Dara? It could be. We don't know that it's not going to, but it sounds like this character is going to play a pivotal role in that he's going to be at odds with her. Now, you mentioned Robbie Amell is Stephen Amell's cousin. Mm-hmm. So there's that tie. He is known lately for the show Upload, which I've been meaning to check out. I have not seen it.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah. I know he was also on The Flash.
And The Tomorrow People.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So he's been in a few things. Obviously, people probably know him. But yeah, I've been meaning to check out Upload. I'll have to before... before Witcher season three debuts. Do you have any thoughts on this character?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that we are going to see like the elves kind of at loggerheads with each other because, mm-hmm. you know, that's true to life. Like different people have different ways of expressing activism and different, you know, there are some groups that think, no, we need to do it this way. And the other groups that are like, no, you're wrong. We have to do it. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting to just see how these two warring groups within the same overall They all want the same thing, but they have very different means of achieving those goals. I think that'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see how the Scoia'tael are portrayed on the show. In the book, they're largely just like villains, like enemies. You know, they end up fighting against Geralt and his team. They end up fighting against, you know, the kingdoms, you know, like they're siding with Nilfgaard. So it's just, it'll be interesting to see if they're portrayed as just kind of bastards or if they actually kind of dive into what they're looking for and make them more sympathetic on the show.
I kind of feel like it's going to go that way.
Yeah, I agree. But all right. So this next character that was introduced, actually, I'm going to skip her for now and go to Prince Radovid, who is played by Hugh Skinner or will be played by Hugh Skinner. And this is an interesting one. He's described royal playboy and younger brother to King Visimir. Radovid finds himself suddenly a man on the inside of the Redanian intelligence. With his good looks and drunken charm, Radovid amazes with how incisive he can be in political affairs. But it's all games until someone gets hurt. Now, this is interesting because this character is going to be a lot older than he would be based on the game.
Yeah, so in the books and the games, he is the son mm-hmm. of Visimir, not his brother. So this is a very interesting change.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious why... I mean, I guess possibly they did it just to introduce Radovid into mm-hmm. the story earlier because he is an interesting character, whereas Visimir, like we've talked about him seeming sort of haughty and kind of, you know, maybe not the brightest ruler, whereas Radovid is just, you know, he's kind of a sociopath.
Ruthless,
he's very Machiavellian and just ruthless and will do, like you said, and do whatever it takes to both maintain power and expand it. So we'll have to see if that's how he comes off in the show. Now, I know I looked up Hugh Skinner, and about the only thing of note, well, I guess I shouldn't say the only thing of note. He's done a lot. But the one thing that I feel like I should know him from, but I'm not placing the face or the name with the character, is he was in Fleabag. Did you ever watch Fleabag?
I did not. It's on my list and I never got around to it. So maybe that'll be a recent acquisition for me.
Well, he plays a character named Harry who's in six episodes, but it's not one that stuck with me. So I maybe if I rewatch them or see some photos of him from the show, I'll remember. He was also in the series The Windsors. I don't know.
I didn't watch that either.
Yeah. So, and that's about it. I mean, there are a lot of like sort of TV movies and kind of bit parts. Oh, he's in Poldark.
Who is he in Poldark?
Unwin Trevenants?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I probably totally mispronounced
There's a lot
name.
Of Poldark, so it could be like in one episode. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I will say based on that character description and the fact that he's a playboy and also in the Redanian intelligence, I already ship him with Jaskier just based on that description alone. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing how that plays out once we actually see this character on screen. But moving on, unless you had more to say about him.
just interesting that they aged him up and that he's a brother instead of a son now. I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yeah. Well, another character, this one I'm really excited about, Milva, who is played by, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Menger Zhang. It's an apostrophe in that first name, so I'm probably messing that up. But she's described as a human adopted by the dryads of Brokilon Forest. Milva is a fierce and talented huntress. Exact archery skills coupled with a stone-cold aptitude for survival makes her a formidable adversary in the Unforgiving Continent. Those that cross her do so at their peril. Valerie, I am so excited that we're getting Milva, although she seems like she's coming in a little early, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I have read the first chapter of the next book.
Yeah.
So I am now familiar with who she is and what her deal is.
For people who don't know, which I guess is probably most of you, Milva is kind of my favorite character in the book series. Like, outside of, you know, especially outside of like your main characters, I love Milva. She's amazing. Menger Zhang, like, it took me a minute to recognize her, but, you know, she's in Shang-Chi. She plays his sister. Actually, I think it's Shang-Chi, so my bad on mispronouncing that. God, I'm mispronouncing everything here.
It is our way, Tim.
She plays his sister, and she's a badass in the movie, too. You told me you haven't seen it yet.
I'm so behind on all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So behind.
Well,
I just saw the first new Spider-Man, and by new, I mean like the first of the Tom Holland Spider-Man, not the one that was just out. Well, and I watched it and went, oh, this was a fun movie. I see why people liked it.
Well, here's one thing I would suggest is that you watch Shang-Chi between now and whenever season three.
Yeah,
and because you'll want to see her and you'll be like, oh my God, this is great casting. Because she has the physicality. Mm-hmm. She can do like the stunts and the action and, you know, the stuff that you would want to see Milva doing. Now, I don't know if she can, you know, shoot arrows or anything like that. You know? But you know what? Like,
that's
what CGI is for. And, you know, there's time to learn.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Hailee Steinfeld can shoot arrows either, but she sure looks like she can.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about Milva. Like, do you have thoughts? Because you are, like you said, you've only really read the one chapter, so you haven't really gotten a sense of her as a character, but
I'm glad she's showing up. That's cool. Like you, I am surprised at how soon she's showing up. I wonder if it's going to be another Philippa situation where I remember like they announced Philippa and we're all excited and then she literally shows up for 2 seconds in the last episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be that or they're going to start on the third book, Baptism of Fire, like way earlier than any of us were expecting, you know, which, I mean, I guess they're taking sort of a loose adaptation, so that wouldn't be surprising entirely, but it was funny because like we were talking about like when we talked about the description of season three and how I mentioned I thought potentially season three was going to end with, you know, this party and the after events of that. Milva doesn't come around till after that.
Yeah.
So this makes me think, all right, maybe I was wrong about that. I guess we don't know. I mean, they could introduce her early. They introduced Codringer and Fenn much earlier than we were expecting in a way that I thought was kind of cool.
And Istrid, for that matter, too.
Yeah. So it could be something like that. We'll have to see. Maybe she doesn't actually interact or meet Geralt in season three. Maybe that comes, you know, in a future season. But I'm just excited we're getting her. I love this casting. I'm so excited about it. This is my favorite of the four. But the fourth one's pretty cool, too. And that is the character of Missile, which is played by an actress. Her name's Christelle Elwyn. And the description is, Missile is a member of the Rats, a gang of misfit teenagers who steal from the rich and give to themselves, and sometimes the poor. She is street hard, suspicious of everyone, and out for revenge until a chance meeting that will change everything.
Mm.
Now, this is a really cool one as well, because it means we're getting the Rats.
Yes.
And now, I love the Rats. They show up also post event that we keep alluding to, but they at least are in the Time of Contempt.
Yeah, so, the end.
Yeah. This could potentially also maybe be a Philippa situation too. We don't know.
Shows up at the end.
Yeah. But it is cool because it means if we're getting Missile and they're talking about that she's part of the Rats, that we're going to get the other Rats as well. And that's a part of Siri's story that I'm kind of looking forward to because it's so drastically different than anything we've seen with her going forward. Missile is an interesting character. How much do we want to go into that?
I would say not too much since it's upcoming and people haven't, you know, if you haven't read the books, then we don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Okay, so we'll just say she has a unique relationship with Siri, that of the rats, she's one of the more prominent ones. There are others that are kind of going to be more background characters, you'd imagine, ones you don't really know quite as well. But the rats themselves are interesting, you know, because they are kind of outside the law.
They're like a gang of feral teenagers.
Yeah. Very sort of Oliver Twist-like, although I guess maybe they're a bit older. Yeah, I like how they describe them. You know, they steal from the rich and give to themselves and sometimes to the poor. but they're kind of like also sort of almost like folk heroes to these communities that they're in. So the fact that we're getting her is great. How much we'll get of her is a question mark. And also this actor, Christelle Elwyn, as far as I can tell, has not done much. I looked her up on IMDb and she's done like two or three things and they're not things that anyone's even heard of. One episode here of like a TV show and a TV movie of Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, so, that's cool though. I like that we get new people. Yeah. I like that we get people that maybe, you know, aren't, we have had some established character actors, but also get people that are kind of fresh to the audience and blank slates, I think is really cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. I have no problem with like new blood and new actors. Sometimes having interesting character actors, it can be kind of cool, but I don't know. You know, to me, this shows they just cast someone who fit the vision they had of the character, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you know who's not fine with that? A lot of fanboys on the internet.
Why am I not surprised to hear this?
Oh my God, Tim. It's like a reverse Wonderful Life. You know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Mm-hmm. Every time a woman of color is cast in The Witcher, the white fanboys of the internet lose their fucking minds.
Like, why does this character in particular?
Her and also Milva. So if you're not familiar with the casting notices, the two female characters that we mentioned are both played by actresses of color. And yeah, every time it's so ridiculous. I made the mistake of going on the showrunner's Instagram mentions after she had posted the casting announcement, Tim. And oh my God, the vitriol, the white boy rage over the fact that two actresses of color dared to be cast in The Witcher. What? And I'm not saying that you can't have opinions. I'm not saying that you can't express those opinions. But there's like a right and a wrong way to do that. And maybe don't go on the showrunner's page and tell her that she's terrible at her job and deserves to be fired and she's ruining The Witcher for you because her view is different than your view, even though media can be interpreted in a variety of ways. And no one has one right or wrong view, Tim.
Yeah, it I don't understand. I guess maybe it's just me being old at this point, but I just don't understand the need people have to get on the internet and do that. I just never have. Yet clearly that's all people do on the internet, it feels like, is get on and bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But like, I just can't understand it in this case. Like, you know, I don't agree with it, but I get the wanting Triss to have red hair just because, you know, she clearly does in the game. And that's how a lot of people know this franchise. So I almost get where they're coming from, even though I think it's silly on that in that case. But like here, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Milva and Missile are described in the book, but they're such supporting characters, you know? Heck, Milva is supposed to be a dryad, or I guess she's a human who was raised by the dryad. So I don't know. To me, sorry, don't take this the wrong way in the way I'm using this, but I would expect someone who looked a little different or looked a little, you know, not like everyone else in, you know, around her because of that. So, you know, I don't know, looking at her, even just looking at the actress Menger Zhang, like I could picture her in like kind of dryad costume, and it just, and then anyone who's complaining about her being cast, I'm like, did they see Shang-Chi? Because how could you hate this casting if you've seen that movie? She's such an amazing character in that movie. And a lot of that was due to the performance. So I don't get that. Now, Missile and Christelle Elwyn, she's new. So it's like, all right, you don't have anything to base her off of. I'm not saying that justifies complaining about the casting on the basis of race, but it's like, all right, you've not seen her in anything. I could get maybe being a little uneasy because you like this character and you want this character to be portrayed well.
But sadly, that is very rarely the argument that anybody makes. You know,
it's just, that's not what
I see
about.
A lot of like, but it's supposed to be Poland and Polish people are white. And it's like, no, it's the author's Polish, guys, but it's based off a world where there are like dragons and elves and shit. And all these different spheres can join to form, like we had alternate worlds and all the alternate worlds collided. And now we have one big world. And why can't we have people of color? Like, why is everybody white in your version of this world? I don't understand.
And I also just get to like, okay, at this point, you know what direction they're going in with this. You know, this is the approach they take to casting. Like at some point it gets to become old man yells at Cloud to me because it's just like, like, all right, you don't like it. I get it. You know,
move on.
Don't watch. You know,
go play in a different sandbox.
Yeah, this isn't The Witcher for you. Then you know, read your books and do your little, you know, like Lily White casting in your head and be happy with that and play the games and be happy with that and move on. You know, like, at this point, you should know. So that's the other thing I just don't get. It's just like, don't you have anything better to do?
Yeah. So, and sadly, I guess the answer is no.
No. But yeah, you know, I don't care. These people don't, like, whatever. I just don't care about them at this point. I'm like, I hate that they're bugging Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich and the people
and the casting
involved.
Directors and actors and stuff.
And the performers and all. I don't like that. I hate when this turns toxic like that. But it's just like, you know what? Like, there are so many wonderful fans and so many people are supportive of this show. And I'd much rather speak to those fans. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, this casting is great. I mean, there are some actors there I don't know. We'll have to see, you know, how they do. But I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I love that we're getting these characters. I mean, it's kind of fun that someone like Robbie Amell might have a role.
Yeah, in The Witcher. Elf ears.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he is. You know he's going to be an asshole. You could just see it.
Is he going to have an American accent, do you think?
We'll have to see. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Is he Canadian? Same difference, really. Yeah, like, Sorry, Canada.
we'll have to see if he tries to do an accent. Not everyone on the show. Like, this is the world of many accents,
yes.
The continent.
We've heard a lot.
Yeah. But with that, I think it's about time to put a cap on this side quest.
All right.
Unless you have something else you'd want to say.
Not really. No. I could try it in a very bad accent, but no, I'm not going to make anyone listen to that.
Hopefully we'll get some more casting announcements soon and more season 3 announcements. So we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah, they've been filming all over Europe, so.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But for now, that's it. So we'll finish this one off, and we'll talk to you guys in a week, hopefully with a full episode.
Thanks for joining us on this side quest.
Bye.
Bye. Whiskey with Witcher is a Malcontent Media production by Tim Beadle and Valerie Petrarca. Our producer is Sean Farina. For updates, pics, and behind-the-scenes shenanigans, follow us on Twitter at WhiskeyWitcher and on Instagram at WhiskeyWithWitcher. Want to express your undying love for Roach or recommend a good whiskey? Email us at whiskeywithwitcher@malcontent.media. Who knows? We might even get drunk enough to read your email in a future podcast. If you like what you've heard, toss us a proverbial coin by rating and reviewing this show on Apple Podcasts and subscribing wherever podcasts are downloaded. Cheers. Done.
Next. Only 3 planes, 2 crickets, 2 motorcycles, and 2 helicopters.